Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. And if you want to advertise with us or have questions you want us to answer on the show, make sure you get those into us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, how excited are you about the Doug Collins era?
I could not possibly be more pumped because we are adding to the chaos of the Chicago Bulls by John Paxson bringing in his old friend, Doug. 66-year-old Doug Collins, officially hired Tuesday by the Bulls as, do I have it right, advisor to the basketball operations?
Special advisor. You can't forget the special advisor.
Special advisor to the basketball operations department will report directly to Paxson, who, of course, he's long held a close relationship with, dating back to the late 80s when Doug Collins coached the Chicago Bulls, your Chicago Bulls, from 1986 to 89. Pax was a player on that team. They seemed to hit it off then, have hit it off so well through the years that Pax tried to hire him in 2008, shortly after the Bulls, I believe, won the rights to draft Derrick Rose in the lottery. A protracted coaching search went haywire when Jerry Reinsdorf said, I can't hire Doug Collins, he's too good of a friend, and I know coaches get hired to be fired. So Collins fell through in 08, getting rehired by the Bulls. But 9 years, 9.5 years later now, he's back in the front office doing what exactly? We don't know, Sean.
I don't think anybody really knows. And when you said you were excited about this adding to the chaos, how much chaos is this really going to add? Like, what's Doug Collins really going to bring in terms of chaos? Like, I know that's the most important thing here, but, like, is he even going to be that visible?
No, I don't think so. But, okay, chaos, not blatant, but why... If you're Fred Hoiberg, why do you want Doug Collins around? Give me one good reason you want Doug Collins around. He blew up coaching the 76ers. He's never stayed anywhere coaching more than a few years. Like, he's as old school as it gets. Fred Hoiberg does like analytics. Fred wants a fresh, authoritative voice in the locker room with the Derrick Rose era gone, a whole year away from that, obviously, and several months removed from the Jimmy Butler era. Now, like, there were competing voices and factions previously. Now, Fred has a bunch of kids that are 22, 23, 24, even younger than that. His voice can carry the locker room. Oh, what's up? There's Doug over there on a chair at the end of the bench at a practice. What's he doing?
But didn't he specifically say, Cody, that he's not going to be coaching the team on the floor? He's not going to be involved in, but he's... I think, I mean, this is, to me, this is basically just like, they basically gave him a golden parachute package.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this is. Like,
a little nest egg for retirement,
absolutely.
So he has a little more money
like,
going
right,
away.
Right, I mean, he, you know, he has been a broadcaster at ESPN for the last several years since he left the Sixers. He maybe doesn't want to do, like, the travel schedule of a broadcaster anymore, having to fly to different cities to call games. His son, Chris, is the coach at Northwestern. You know, he can, you know, go hang out with Jerry Reinsdorf and John Paxson and, you know, collect a check. That's basically, to me, that's basically what this is. I don't really know how much input he's going to have on decisions.
No one will ever confuse me for an Ivy League graduate, but if he's not going to coach, he's not going to make decisions. And despite talking for 22 minutes when being asked two questions at the press conference on Tuesday, he is not a spokesman for the organization. Pax went out of his way to say, one of the important things for Doug Collins will be when reporters, media, outside observers, anyone calls, that he shouldn't pick up his phone. So he's not going to coach, make decisions in the front office, or be a spokesman for the team. What is he going to do? I'm not a rocket scientist, but what is he going to do? Is he just going to sit on the couch and hang out?
In the office?
He's going to be an asset to them in any way that they want him to. That's what he said.
One of the subplots I'm really excited about this year is, as the year goes on, I can't wait for every time Fred Hoiberg does or doesn't point out something happening on the floor, in the front office, a transaction, an idea, anything that relates to the culture. I can't wait till he does or doesn't cite Doug Collins for some of these, Hoiberg, when he talks to the media. Because, look, I don't think Fred really cares that Doug Collins is there. But when you've already been on the hot seat for 2 years, and look, Fred wasn't on the hot seat internally by way of being fired. That was externally.
But
when you're under scrutiny.
Public perception.
Yes. How has it helped to have a guy who coached 3 NBA teams before? And the other thing, so when I say chaos, like, again, that it's not going to contribute to the headlines where people are sniping at each other or anything. Nothing like that. But behind the scenes, the other thing, you hire Doug Collins. He is cut from the same mold, the same cloth, as Pax. Look, what did Doug Collins say in his presser? He went out of his way to credit role players in the Bulls championship teams. That was John Paxson. He went out of it. The Bulls were great. They had stars, but those role players meant so much. We gotta develop those guys. You know,
is that part of being woke? Because he's woke.
Yeah, please define woke for me too. What wokeness is he bringing to the Bulls? Because he's as old school as it gets.
That's what I want to know. Because I was gonna ask him this, but he cut it off before I could get a question in.
Can you define woke? Is that what you're gonna ask him?
No, I wasn't, but I was gonna ask him, because a part of that same answer, he said that I'm old, but I'm not old school, which is, I think, a huge lie, because Doug Collins is one of the most old school.
Yeah, he hates analytics.
Right, that's what I was gonna ask him about. There was this quote, I think it was like 5 years ago when he was still with the Sixers. He was asked about analytics, and he said something like, "I would rather
blow my brains out
than use any of that stuff." And now I was going to ask him something along the lines of, you talk about how now you're woke and you're not old school, but you had some comments about analytics. Like, has your thinking maybe evolved on that? Like, what's the deal? I'm interested to hear what his answer would be to that.
I'd love to know his eye for talent, too, that the Bulls cited. Like, so they said he's not going to be going out and, like, scouting. Like, will he end up at games scouting at some point? I'm sure. You know, like, Northwestern doesn't play 7 nights a week. I think they only play twice a week. And then now, newfound, they play into late March, or the first week of March Madness. So Doug Collins probably won't be doing much for the Bulls, like, March 18th through 24th, when the Wildcats make the second round of the tournament again. Like, totally off. He'll need that week off for vacation. Like, you get vacation days when you're an advisor, you think, or, like...
I think he has a pretty flexible schedule. That's kind of the impression that I got.
My point is, like, he's not going to be knee-deep in scouting. I'm sure he can contribute some comments to that, but he's never worked in a front office before. He's not a tried and true talent evaluator. Like, he coached players that were given to him, and then yesterday at the press conference, he went out of his way like 9 times to be like, "I will not coach here, I swear to God. I'm not even going to go do on-court work, and we have a coaching staff," Pack said. Like, Doug Collins went hard saying he's not going to be involved in day-to-day coaching, which to me is what he was probably best at to an extent. You know what I mean? The front office thing, what's he known for in Philly? He was never given presidential personnel powers while he was there officially, but kind of early in his 3 years coaching Philadelphia from 2010 to 13, and then like toward the end when there was turnover and stuff, like, he had a big say. What did he have a big say in? Well, from the beat writers there and the articles we look up and everything we hear, read, and people tell us, like, he liked the Andrew Bynum trade. He loved Kwame Brown.
He tried to give Kwame Brown a 5-year deal.
And ownership said, no, let's not do that in Philly. Like, what? Why do you want him? Like, there's only one decision that matters for the Bulls in the next, like, 12 months here, I guess 10. NBA draft next
Which
year.
Which
like,
is, do you draft Michael Porter or do you draft Luka Doncic?
Or Marvin Bagley.
Or Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, like, that's the one big front office decision. Look, I can probably handle the front office work until that point, right? Like, hey, someone offers you a late first-round pick for Robin Lopez, you do it. Or a young player who you think can turn into a rotation player and have a little potential, you do it. You pick a number in the sand after you talk to the Reinsdorf's ownership, about finances and saying when Dwayne Wade gets to it, you buy him out, right? Like, those are the two things you're doing. When someone has a bad contract and their owners are breathing down their neck, you say, hey, look at this trade exception we got from Jimmy Butler. We got you. Give me an asset with it. It's pretty easy once you hit the button on the rebuild as the season goes. Like, the hard part in the next 10 months for the Bulls is that player development. Is Fred Hoiberg making every single player on that team as good as they can be and have an incremental upward slope of player development, no stagnation? You know what I mean? And if Doug Collins isn't going to be out there, this is just like a move to make a move, isn't it?
Well, I think what they envision this being is, if you look at a number of years ago, the Warriors brought in Jerry West as a consultant, and he was credited with the decision to not trade Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. Now he's kind of going to a similar role with the Clippers this offseason. The Bucks brought in Rod Thorne a year or so ago to have a similar role. I think this is what they envision that being, but I think they think that you can just, like, bring someone in that's like an old school NBA personality like that and think that's going to have that kind of effect, and it's just not.
Yeah, and Doug Collins said he'll be watching practices from the chair at the end of the bench, maybe somewhere in the stands there, Advocate Center, kind of overseeing. He said for games he'll be somewhere in the stands. Like, I'm not even sure he got an invite to the box yet. I'm assuming the general manager box will be open to him. But hey, if he needs a seat, he can always go to SeatGeek too. You know, because SeatGeek is the easiest way to buy and sell tickets. Buying tickets to sporting events and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. The easiest way to get those tickets with SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience. You can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps find you the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician up close and in person, and SeatGeek will help get you closer to the action for a great value. I have a SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. You can be anywhere, anytime, with just a few taps, instantly find seats. Sean, you just used it for what? You saw Hamilton?
I saw Hamilton, yeah.
Finally woke to culture, right?
My parents are in town this past weekend, which is why we haven't done any podcasts until Wednesday. But yeah, my mom really wanted to see Hamilton, so we got Hamilton on SeatGeek.
The fam love it?
Yeah, last night it was great. I hadn't seen it before. I hadn't really listened to the soundtrack that much, but I enjoyed it. I recommend it if you can get tickets, and there's no better place to get tickets than SeatGeek.
That's how you stay woke with SeatGeek, which is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. It saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites and comparing prices to find amazing deals. You always get the most bang for your buck with SeatGeek, which grades every ticket based on value and helps you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Every purchase fully guaranteed, so shop with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports to concerts to comedy to theater. Locked On Bulls listeners, here's what we need you to do. Use the promo code LONBA after you download the SeatGeek app, LONBA, and you'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. I'm not done with the Doug Collins.
No, neither am I. I have something else I want to bring.
All right, go for it.
So both John Paxson and Doug Collins have said yesterday at their availability that he's not going to be coaching. I 100% believe that. You know, he's 66. You know, being a coach in the NBA is a grind. You have to travel a lot. You have to be away from your family a lot. Like, I believe him that he's kind of done coaching. He doesn't want that life anymore.
Okay.
Is the next Bulls head coach, whenever the Fred Hoiberg era ends, is the next Bulls head coach Chris Collins?
Ooh, firing up the rumor mill. You think
already a local guy?
They don't even need to hire Doug Collins to make that happen. You know what I mean? Like, is Michael Reinsdorf affiliated with Northwestern now? Like a trustee or like a booster, a guy around the program a little bit, or around the university ties to them? Like, you don't even need to hire Doug, but it helps Doug fire.
This is going to be the equivalent of Gar Forman buying Fred Hoiberg's house when he was a player, and that's a precursor to him becoming the next Bulls head coach.
If Chris Collins takes the Wildcats to the Sweet 16 next year, just write the column. Pre-write the column now. Click publish.
Especially if the Bulls struggle with player development, and, you know, if there's more Hoiberg hot seat talk. We've both been on record saying we don't think there's really any chance he gets fired during this season, or even probably during next season. But just down the line, it's like,
yeah,
the Hoiberg
keep Bulls, these things in.
The Hoiberg Bulls rumors were going for like 2 years before it actually happened. So just something to store away.
You heard it here first on Locked On Bulls. And back to the I use the word chaos. I mean, I use that probably as a crutch sometimes, no doubt. I use it a lot. You know what I mean? And by that, I mean, too, like, just chaos probably isn't the right word, but for lack of better anything, like, you hire Doug Collins. This is not enhancing Gar Forman's standing and authority and voice in any means whatsoever. The only way this is viewed is that Gar Forman's role has been at best the same, probably slightly diminished. You know what I mean? Like, there's only room for so many voices, only so much room for voices within a room. And now you have Doug Collins in there too, who has long had a really close relationship with Pax, who is, practically speaking, the final decision maker on all personnel matters in some consultation with the Reinsdorfs.
Right.
Obviously, you know, like, he doesn't trade Jimmy Butler without running it past ownership, but he can do whatever he wants with the 12th man on the roster. You know what I mean? So, contributing to you look at Gar, and there's already just rumors galore about running through the NBA. You know, Gar lining up his next job. Gar badmouth Bulls front office here or whatever behind the scenes. Like, hiring Doug Collins isn't going to make any of this stop when it comes to, like, continuity and stability. And Ricky O'Donnell pointed this out too.
Ricky had a great
fire column.
Anytime the Bulls do anything, he always writes the most fire column.
Like,
so go check that out.
This just lends itself to Collins being a yes man to reinforce Pax's beliefs, which changes absolutely nothing whatsoever. You know? And maybe, I mean, the other way to read this, I mean, I think we should point out every angle. Maybe the whole purpose of this is a way to accelerate Gar Forman's exit at some point. And by that, I would mean a year from now. Like, the season starting, he's fine. The Bulls don't fire executives midseason, to my knowledge.
Well, what I think is...
don't fire executives ever.
If they do decide to do that with Gar, I think the way it's going to work, they're not going to say, we have fired Gar Forman. They've said basically what they're going to do is announce a reorganization in the front office, and maybe, you know, he's going to stay in the organization, but maybe they move him more into a scouting role so he's less of a decision maker or less so in the room.
Or he wants his next job somewhere else. But to read this another way, like, it's a foot and a wedge in the door to push Gar's influence out a little bit more, and you push it out a little bit more, and then he doesn't like that so much, and he just becomes a little more detached, and you realize it's not going to work out. You know what I mean? Like a relationship just breaking up little by little. You know what I mean? Like, not everything just has to be a button that you hit and click fire, you know?
Right.
Like, the Thibodeau thing unwound for 2 years at least before they fired him and such. So, I just feel like that's worth noting, and maybe that's part of the purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Doug Collins wants any part of the daily grind in the NBA at all. I don't think he wants to coach, but I don't know. If he can have a consulting role that's a really big voice and semi-de facto general manager voice, and he can still live in Chicago and just report, like, 13 miles to the Advocate Center every day and not have to travel until the playoffs and the Bulls are back in the Eastern Conference Finals or something 45 years from now. Maybe he likes that, you know what I mean? But it should be noted, like, pretty much Doug Collins usually burns out of jobs in, like, 3 or 4 years. Like, I don't see him still being involved 6 years from now when the Bulls are good again and hopefully challenging for championships in their mind. So, I think we hit most angles on Doug Collins. Oh, that's the other thing. This is just glorious irony. I have
okay.
to point out.
What is this?
The part where Doug Collins said, well, this made no sense too. He said he hopes to help contribute to changing the Bulls' perception. I did like the part where he called the Bulls a piñata, because it's like Doug still in broadcaster mode, and oh, the Bulls have been a piñata for public perception, taking a beating in the headlines through the past couple of years, which he's pretty much right.
This is why it's so disappointing that he said he's not going to be, you know,
the spokesman.
As a spokesperson.
He's
so much better with media than Gar is.
He said he wanted to help change the Bulls' perception into that of the White Sox, how their perception switched in, like, 6 months in their rebuild after the Reinsdorf-owned White Sox traded Chris Sale last December, Adam Eaton, and then turned around this summer and traded Jose Quintana and just have a stockpile of young prospects and a promising future. Like,
but
everyone loves the White Sox now. But the part that just, this is hilarious. The White Sox literally hired Ricky Renteria, put him on the bench next to Robin Ventura for 1 year as bench coach.
And then pushed him
out. And then pushed Ventura out and promoted Ricky Renteria. And Doug Collins is like, yeah, like the White Sox did it the right way. Look, they switched public perception just like that. The same team with the same ownership that plopped a guy down and pushed their current coach / manager leader out and promoted that guy. Like, it's just, the irony is just right there. It's too delicious for me not to point out and just laugh at.
The White Sox also got a much better package for Chris Sale than the Bulls got for Jimmy Butler. We need to say that.
Whoa! Lowry Markkanen might be the future. He might be next. After we're done talking about how people are back, we talk about how people are next, right? Lowry Markkanen might be next.
Next for...
Just next. Superstar.
Okay.
Franchise score. I don't know about centerpiece, but like...
I don't want to spoil our bold predictions.
Yeah, he's next.
I don't want to spoil our bold predictions.
Lowry Markkanen averages 27 points per game next year.
Are you going to pick Lowry Markkanen to win Rookie of the Year?
Ooh, I'll think about it. We'll have bold predictions for you sometime
soon.
In the next week, probably.
Soon.
Yeah, I might.
You want to do Nico Watch real quick?
Oh, no. We need... We got to tie Nico Watch into Media Day Monday.
Media Day preview.
Will Nico Mirotić report for Media Day on Monday? Gotta do the math. 82 days now? 82 days into free agency? It's not even free agency anymore. It's just like the 82nd day since free agency.
We're less than a week opened. We're less than a week until training camp.
So, Nikola Mirotić update. The Bulls' $7.3 million qualifying offer is on the table. It has to stay on the table too, right?
Because yes.
July 13th was the deadline. You offer it, and then you have to pull it back by July 13th because
right.
The Spurs did that with Jonathan Simmons, I believe. So that is out there. At any point in time, Nico can say, I want to play next year for $7.2 million for the Bulls and become an unrestricted free agent in summer 2018. Or he can continue to negotiate a multi-year deal with the Bulls, whether it's 2 years, 3 years. There's zero reason for the Bulls to, like, offer a one-year $12 million deal. Just have him sign the qualifying offer. You know what I mean? So, it's either, right? Like, if I'm reading this right,
yes,
then that would just... I mean, I guess if they have the money and got to get to the salary floor, you could just have
Olive
Branch, some goodwill toward
he's
him.
He's either going to sign the qualifying offer...
Or a multi-year.
Or they're going to figure out a multi-year deal like Denver just did with Mason Plumlee, which he got 3 years, 42.
I don't see...
I don't think that's going
to happen. I don't see Nico getting that. Like,
if I had to guess, I think the way... I mean, I've said this before. I think that he's going to end up getting signing the qualifying offer. Do you think it's going to happen by Monday? Do you think he is going to open training camp on Tuesday? Because if he hasn't signed his contract, either a new deal or the qualifying offer, if he's not actually under contract, he can't practice with the team during training camp. So
correct.
Do you think we're going to see him in camp next
week? He can keep lifting weights right up until they start practice. Then it's like, hey, bro, you can't
practice.
You got to
go find somewhere else to work
out. You got to find somewhere else. I actually do think we'll see him Monday. And look, Pax said Gar continues to negotiate with Nico's agents and representation. There's no update.
I'm not sure
what
there is to talk about at this point. I think they both kind of know where each other stands.
Yeah, like, I mean, word was he was wanting, like, $15 million-ish, right, when he started. So I wouldn't expect it to be that annually because if it was, they would have that worked out by now, I would think.
Right.
So I think it'll be lesser. I do just... Look, Nico wants to be in Chicago. He realizes there's only one NBA team he can play for next year, and that's the Bulls.
Yeah.
Right, so he said he doesn't want to go over to Europe and play previously. Last year, he said that he has a young child. Like, I don't think he wants to uproot his family at this point not having a big long-term deal.
All indications are that he enjoys living in Chicago and doesn't want to leave.
Yeah, and, like, he's been at the Bulls practice facility so much. So even if it's just out of habit, I think he's going to show up Monday. And they might even be like, Nico, you can't hang out with us at Media Day and practice tomorrow until you sign this sheet of paper. Okay, I'll sign that. You know what I mean? Like, I think they will Monday, but I want to let you know, like, I don't get the feeling the Bulls really have any clue what's going to happen. The coaching staff seems uncertain whether Nico's going to be there on Monday. The media department isn't yet printing hard copies en masse of their roster and stuff because they don't want to waste paper. on Nico. Like, there's no team photo to take yet because Nico may or may not be out of it. Like, they're going to use electronic copies of rosters.
Isn't that what Kristen said that they're going to do for camp yesterday?
Yeah, yeah. Like, just no one on the Bulls knows exactly what's going to happen. I think Gar probably has a better idea, and I think we see Nico. If he's not there Monday, aren't we going to miss a lot of opportunity for him to be on promotional material and in-game pump-up music videos? And
they can't do a repeat. If he's not on the team, they can't do a repeat of the Chia Pet giveaway where you can plant seeds on his beard.
Exactly. And all those, like, Children's Picasso, for example.
Nico was the funniest guy.
Of the best entertainment the Bulls had going at times these past 2 years when they were playing bad basketball was Children's Picasso on the Jumbotron. And a little guy draws someone, and, like, you think it's Paul Zipser, and then all of a sudden he's like, no, that's Taj Gibson, and you're like, oh, Children's Picasso, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, kindergarten artists, like, we gotta have Nico up there, someone drawing his beard and stuff. So, I think we'll see him Monday. He's been at the facility so much that I think at some point he'll be like, and Nico doesn't seem like a guy, like, I mean, I guess it's not, I don't know if holdout would be what you would term it. But, I mean, it's a de facto holdout a little bit, you know what I mean? I guess you can't have a holdout unless you're under contract, but it, practically speaking, it's kind of a holdout when there's only one team you can play for and you're not reporting to practice for contract reasons.
Well, this is kind of the
same. And he's not a guy to do that, right?
This has happened with the Cavs the last couple of years. It was Tristan Thompson a couple of years ago. It was J.R. Smith last year. You know, they didn't have new contracts until basically into training camp. But, of course, you know, in both of those cases, it was because their agent was Rich Paul, who's also LeBron's agent.
Yeah.
So they kind of had that leverage of, this is LeBron's agent, and he wants you to do this. They don't really have that. Like, you know, Felicio already got paid, and he has the same agent as Nico. So it's like, it's not like he has a lot of leverage.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, remember how bad Nico felt when he missed that 4:15 p.m. shoot-around and got benched for a game?
Yeah.
Maybe two games.
Well, no, he got benched for the first game, and then he missed the shoot-around. He missed the walk-through and then got
benched.
Yeah,
that was a bad timing.
That was the
back-to-back, and usually players have to report by, like, 5:15 p.m.-ish, 5:30-ish, but they had an early shoot-around walk-through type thing at 4:15, and Nico just completely forgot that it was on the schedule. And, like, he genuinely felt that bad missing a walk-through in a season off the rails at that
point. For a game against Milwaukee in December.
Yeah.
Like, not even...
Like, I can't imagine him sitting here missing, like, 8 practices to start the season. So, that's why I guess I think he'll come back on Monday. Sean, what else are we looking for on Media Day? What are you watching? Dwayne Wade, I assume.
I'm excited for Dwayne Wade to not answer questions about his...
He's got to answer questions! He can't... I mean, he's going to take 30 minutes of questions.
He's going to say the same thing he said to KC about how he's in training camp and he won't comment beyond that. I think that's what that's
about. Well, he needs to answer the question, are you willing to be a mentor for an entire season? Like, if he's going to be dodging that question, like, oh boy, we are going to be in trouble when it comes to continuity in that locker room. If Dwayne Wade, no comments, questions like, are you willing to be a mentor? No comment. Like,
so we've
off
got,
the rails already if that's happening.
So we've got Nico, we've got Wade, and then obviously we're going to need to, you know, check in with Zach LaVine, see what his kind of plan is when it comes to, you know, when can they expect me back. He says he's ready. He has said in the past he's going to be ready for camp. I'm, again, going to guess there's no chance that happens.
Bulls love his progress. He hasn't been cleared for any contact yet.
No.
He's doing a lot of individual work. He has not been cleared to dunk. Rumor has it he still throws down a dunk here and there when no one is watching. I don't know if that's true or not, but Zach LaVine hasn't been cleared for all those basketball activities, but he is 100%, has 100% conviction that, like, he feels like.
Kind of interested to chat with Quincy Pondexter, assuming he's there. It's another guy that, you know, we don't know if he's, you know.
Can we just send out the press release on Monday morning saying the Bulls waived Quincy Pondexter on Media Day?
I think he's going to be a camp body.
But you could find camp bodies anywhere. There's like, they just had open tryouts with like 30 people for the Windy City Bulls. Just ship one of them guys down in an Uber.
Quincy
Pondexter hasn't played basketball in like 2.5 years.
Should we address the Diamond Stone signing, by the way? He's got a cool name.
The Bulls signed Diamond Stone.
Yeah, that's our analysis of that.
Diamond Stone.
I think they got 2 spots left. Assuming Nico gets signed at some point, they've got 2 spots left in camp.
For Because I'd have 15 real players, the two-way guys on two-way contracts.
And then Diamond Stone.
Diamond Stone. So that's 18, you need 20.
Or you can have
Diamond Stone was a second-round pick in 2016. Got shipped from someone, the Pelicans or something.
Clippers.
Got shipped to the Clippers.
To the Clippers.
From the Pelicans on draft night.
Played 7 games for the Clippers.
Played in the D-League/G-League.
Well, it was the D-League then.
Yeah, got traded to the Hawks in...
The Jamal Crawford, you know, Gallinari sign-and-trade thing with the Nuggets.
Yeah,
and then he got waived.
And then got waived. So...
He's not going to make the team.
The expectations for Diamond Stone are really, really low because two teams already gave up on him within 13 months.
But three teams gave up.
The
guarantee, well, did the Bulls give up on Jordan Bell? It's the same kind of thing.
The Bulls got $3.5 million for Jordan Bell.
Well, but that was what the Pelicans was. So that wasn't three teams could have given up.
But the
thing to know about Diamond Stone is that his guarantee, he signed one of those partially guaranteed contracts. His guarantee is $50,000, which means he is eligible because if it's over $50,000,
we'll spend it all in one spot.
If your guarantee is over $50,000 and they waive you, you can't be on the G League team. So the fact that his guarantee is $50,000, if they waive him, they can still have him play for the Windy City Bulls. So I think that's kind of what we expect.
Windy City Bulls are putting together a juggernaut at this rate. You're gonna have Ryan Arcidiakono, former national champion, ended up in there. Antonio Blakeney, there's a guy that's a baller, gets the free throw line. I think he could be a G League star.
I actually think he's good.
Diamond Stone, a guy who Sean has not rave reviews for, but has information on.
We've acknowledged his existence.
Yeah. What else at Media Day, though? Oh, we already hit on D-Wade, Zach LaVine, Nico.
By the way,
the past few years, by the way, what?
By the way, Robin Lopez's new number is 42, according to 2K.
Can we get an entire story out of that on Media Day?
I have another note on 2K, by the way.
Oh, what?
I was playing it. I had a buddy who stayed with me to go to a music festival over the weekend, and he had 2K. He had 2K18 that just came out, so we were playing it a little bit. Fred Hoiberg is wearing a tie in that game.
You need to get a hold of developers.
Absolutely. I posted it on Twitter.
Actually, that would be a good idea for the developers, if they want to make it authentic as possible, just send out copies to like 3 beat writers to every team, and they'd be like,
Making every single detail of this game so authentic. Like, they have the details of the arena down. They have everybody's like mannerisms.
Run around with free McDonald's signs when the Bulls hit 100 points.
Yeah, everything, all of that stuff. But they gave Fred Hoiberg a tie, for those of you who don't know, Fred Hoiberg doesn't wear a tie. He wears a suit jacket and a shirt with no tie because a tie would interfere with his heart condition. So
makes you, get more hot.
Right. So
bothered, basically.
Right. He actually has a medical reason for not wearing a tie, so that's kind of an oversight on the part of the 2K.
The hardest hitting criticism on this podcast right now, we have 1A and 1B is Doug Collins and the tie on 2K18 in some order. I don't know what move we criticize more here.
I actually texted the picture to Fred of him wearing a tie in 2K.
What did he say?
I didn't hear back.
I don't think he much cares about that. He wants to talk about player development. And that's what we're going to ask them about Monday after we're done asking them, where's Nico? How much money does Dwayne have to give back before you buy him out? Will Dwayne be a mentor until that part? What other questions are we supposed to ask Monday? Because we don't have the... Do you have championship expectations this year? So what else do we have?
Well, the stuff that we want to know is more stuff that's going to get worked out as camp goes on. Like, I'll be interested. Let's assume Nico's back. I'm assuming, who's going to be the starting power forward? Is it going to be Nico on that one-year deal, or are they going to go with Lauri Markkanen after his impressive performance?
You keep putting Lowry in front of Bobby? Bobby's your boy, and you just, on this podcast, downgraded him to third string again. Bobby's on above Lowry on the depth chart right now. Like, they are not playing Lowry before Bobby on opening night. I don't think, *, you can come back and cut this out and
Lowry
make me look like an idiot.
Lowri Markkanen was the number 7 pick and the one of the centerpieces of their trade of Jimmy Butler. They're going to give him time in this rebuild.
He'll get a lot of minutes. It's like Mitch Trubisky with the Bears. Like, he didn't just get drafted and go to number 2 or number 1. God, I just want him to go to number 1 already so we have something with Bears football to care about. I don't think Isn't it really bad for Bobby's confidence if you just say, open training camp and go, you're third string power forward? Like, that's not good. Like, Bobby's put in work for 2 years. He stagnated last year. Like, he admits some of that. Had a few injury troubles late in the year. And going to training camp and make him number two on the depth chart and go tell him to chase down Nico for the starting job. When he doesn't do it and Lowry clearly outplays him, play Lowry the rest of the year. But premature downgrading here on the depth chart? Oh, maybe we should just ask him for a depth chart at Media Day.
Update.
And ask, who is third string point guard? David Nwaba or Cameron Payne?
Well, Cameron Payne with one foot is not really...
Guard, do you think Cameron Payne has already played his last game as a Chicago Bull? That would be $1 million first question of Media Day.
I might have to do it.
That would be an absolute fire first question at Media Day. But no, I think one of the storylines is just how do you deal with being projected to be so bad, knowing that, look, you don't go up there and act like, or even in your head, I don't think if you're an NBA player, actually think you're going to be the worst team, but I mean, this is a team that ostensibly started every year with championship hopes, playoff push, a win-now mode at least. I don't think anyone actually thought they were a championship team or contender last year. But, like, they sold us the bill of goods the day they hired Hoiberg his first year. That's what they were still doing. And they were still in win-now mode last year. Like, just that shift, I think, is a big deal. And how do you deal with getting your butt kicked every other night and still having the right attitude for progress, for player development? How do you measure success? Like, what are these benchmarks? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's actually really interesting because, like, Fred's dodged a lot of those questions this summer. Like, people can say whatever they want. Like, we still try hard. But, like, I think some other people will give more revealing answers, maybe.
This is going to be a pretty uneventful media day when you compare it to the last couple of... I mean, remember... 2 years ago, it was the Derrick Rose like free agency comments. And then last year,
and then he got a minimum contract.
Sure, and then this last year was the three alphas and that whole thing. That was still kind of a novelty at that point.
We need a nickname. We need a quote, a mantra, a headline worthy phrase that comes close to three alphas with 13 betas.
13.
The 13 betas.
So who's the one that isn't? Is it Paul Zipser?
I guess I was saying 13 because isn't that how many you can dress and have active? The 13 betas. It's just a shifting role. No, I think Zach LaVine's an alpha. I think when he gets back, he's going to dunk on people. I think he's going to score 22 points per game. I don't think we're going to worry about his defense the first year.
The new three alphas are Zach LaVine, Paul Zipser, and Robin Lopez.
13 betas. That's going to be...
I think we're going to... I think that's... That was off the top, by the way. We did not pre-plan that. Cody just came up with that off the top. That's going
to
be...
I do not have time to pre-plan anything out on the podcast because, like, look, I would hate to say, like, when the podcast is bad that we planned it that way, because that we almost, like, we set ourselves up for failure. No,
we're trying to get the
number
one.
This is all stream of consciousness.
We're trying to get the number one draft pick in the podcast, like the Bulls are trying to get the number one draft pick.
Yeah, like, when it's good, it's good on the spot, it's natural. When it's bad on the spot, natural.
We're still playing our way into shape in training camp, like a lot of players
do. That's true, but we promise we will not tell you that we're in the best shape of our lives or coming up with the best podcast.
Speak for yourself. I'm in the best shape of my life.
No, I'm not. No. I'm not in basketball writing shape, basketball covering shape yet. Like, I'll get there. You know what I mean? I will get there by the regular season opener, hopefully, or maybe use the Shaq plan and halfway through the year.
If I got hurt on company time, I'm going to heal on company time. Yeah. Andre Miller was a guy who would always just... And he was very open about it. He was just like, yeah, I don't work out in the offseason. I just show up to camp and play my way into shape.
I get hurt on company time. I'm going to heal on it. That's it's a great, great phrase. But I think that wraps it up for this episode of Locked on Bulls. We'll be back with you
soon.
Soon, at some point. We'll figure it out. Like we said, Media Day is Monday. We will have Bull predictions probably in the next week or so.
Maybe this week, maybe next week. We'll see.
Yeah. Follow Sean on Twitter, @ Hyken. Follow myself, @ Cody Westerlund. Locked on Bulls is on Twitter and Facebook by its name. You can email us @ LockedOnBulls @gmail.com with any advertising inquiries. Questions, always welcome. We'll get to more of those next week as the season goes along. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about on Media Day and everything. But yeah, if you have questions, send our way. Most of all, Tell your friends to subscribe to the podcast. Tell your parents, steal their phone and subscribe if they're old and don't understand technology. Get the word out and subscribe to us on
iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, wherever else you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out all the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network, you know, with training camp going or getting started the next week. And then the NFL season is in full swing right now. We're going into week 3, so any Locked On NBA or Locked On NFL podcast, we've got all 30 NBA teams, all 32 NFL teams, a national Locked On NBA show with David Locke, and a national Locked On NFL show, all that stuff. Check it all out. No matter what team you're a fan of, what you're interested in the NBA or the NFL, there's a podcast for you on the network, including Locked On Bulls, and we will be back with you guys soon. Thanks for listening.